Good morning, church. So good to be with you this morning. My name is Jason Beeden. My family and I are missionaries with an organization called CRU, used to be called Campus Crusade for Christ. This summer marks 24 years of being missionaries with this organization. From 2004 to 2015, we were missionaries in China. And in 2015, we moved back to Western New York. We're from the Western New York area, and we've been here, part of this church, and we've really enjoyed being members and a part of this church family. Great worshiping with you here this morning. Well, what's been going on in the Beeden household? We've been keeping busy. Our kids are growing up. Evie was back here on the worship team today. She's getting quite tall. Our kids are growing tall. I don't know what they have in the water here in Amherst, but it's causing our kids to grow tall. Our oldest daughter, Maggie, in the middle of July, hopped in an airplane, and she's been on a missions trip in South Africa with other missionary kids from around the world serving. And it's been a real joy for us just to see God working in her life and being a part of the rich legacy of this church, of being on mission and going on mission locally as well as internationally. And so she's been having a great time. You know, when you have a mission trip with teenagers, they take away their phones. So they took away her phone. So we've been getting like weekly updates, and it seems like it's going really well, really well. I think we've shed a couple tears having her away from us for so long. She was away on our birthday. But we're so delighted that she is walking with the Lord and desires to do something like this. They're working with a ministry in South Africa. They're working with rural poor and doing home health visits for people that don't have great medical care. They're working in an orphanage. They're working with teenagers in schools. She's learning how to share her testimony better and have spiritual conversations and share the gospel. So it's been a really rich time. She still has about 8 days left, and so we're excited to see how God will continue to work in her life. Of course, it was fun to see Kayla Gilliam. I get her reports, and I was texting her this week. I said, "Hey, Kayla, when are you leaving?" She said, "Oh, I'm leaving Saturday morning." And so my wife and I were saying, "Oh, surely she won't be at youth group on Friday night." Oh, she was at youth group on Friday night. And so I think Kayla Gilliam, she probably did not sleep all Friday night getting ready to go, but so delighted to see her on mission and serving the Lord as well. Well, today, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be looking at a section of Scripture in 1 Peter. So I'll be preaching for the next 2 weeks, this week and next week, and just looking at this passage and the one right after it in 1 Peter. Just looking to hope to encourage us as a church. I've been going through the book of 1 Peter, thinking about this book deeply, and enjoying the message of it, and being challenged by the message that Peter has for these Christians that are living in a difficult world. And I think it really applies to us nowadays as our world is becoming increasingly difficult to live in, especially as a Christian. If you have your Bibles with you, we'll turn to 1 Peter. The script's a little small, but let me read it to you. Starting here in verse 8, this is the word of the Lord. "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil, reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, bless. For to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." This is the word of the Lord. Let me pray for us. Father, just thank you for this passage of Scripture. I pray that you would illuminate it to our lives. I pray that as we come to your word today, that we would submit ourselves to your word, that we would come humbly to your word with teachable hearts. Lord, your word is our food. It's our spiritual food. It's how we sustain ourselves. That's how we survive. It's how we grow as believers in Christ. And I pray that you would use it today and it would accomplish its work in us, and that you would do powerful things through us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that I've been fascinated with recently is this idea of blue zones. I don't know if you know what blue zones are, but blue zones are areas of the world. There's around five or six, one, two, three, four, five key areas of around the world where people live long lives. There's these special pockets of geographic location and people that they call blue zones. And really it has to do with this topic of longevity. And these are people who, in these blue zones, where are they? Sardinia, Okinawa, Greece, Costa Rica, and even in California among some Seventh-day Adventists, where these people will live late into their 90s and even past 100 years old. And I've just been fascinated by this idea of longevity. How do these people live this long? What's the secret, you know? What do we say in English? Have they found the fountain of youth? Like, what's going on in these blue zones? You see a picture here of some older gentlemen sitting around. I think these are men in Sardinia, just living well into their 90s. Some of them well into their 100s. How do these people do it? What's the secret? Like, what's going on? And when sociologists and scientists started to look more closely, they thought initially it might be what they're eating. You know, what are these people eating? And, well, what they found is it has to do a lot more with just what they're eating. They found that it had to do with some of the key relationships with family. One of the key things they found with many of these people is that they had a spouse, and they committed to that spouse for a lifetime. A second thing they found is that these people had a faith community that gave them purpose and belonging. Another thing that they found is that they handled stress well. For many of them, this meant that they prayed together and they talked with others about their problems. I find this so interesting. How do these people live this life? I would call this a blessed life. How do you live these long, blessed lives? And I think that the topic of blessedness can be quite confusing. We've been reading through the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, the first section of that Sermon on the Mount is about being blessed. Blessed are, blessed are. And we learn a whole lot about what it means to be blessed. But if you look at our culture will tell you the way that you're blessed is about having money. It's about what you can get. It's about possessions, buying this and eating this. That's what's going to make you blessed. So I think this idea of blessedness can be confusing. Is it found in possessions, as our Western values will tell us? Is it found in wealth? Is it found in discovering your identity? Well, I think as we come here to the book of 1 Peter, we're going to see some key truths about what it means, what it really means to have a blessed life. So again, some context here in the book of 1 Peter. This is a group of Gentile converts to Christianity. And they're kind of spread out throughout Asia Minor. What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 1? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles in the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So these are Gentile converts to Christianity. They're spread out. And also what we know about them is they're being persecuted heavily just for the fact that they're Christians. These people were not the dominant group in society. They weren't setting the tone of society. They are very much a marginalized, persecuted group living in a pagan world. And what we also know about the book of 1 Peter is that Peter starts with, oftentimes in these epistles, even with the Apostle Paul, they'll start out with the ideas of who you are, who God is, and who you are in Christ. We call these the indicatives. He starts out with the indicatives. What does he say in 1 Peter 1:18? He says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile inherited ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. So Peter's really laying out who they are in Christ and how Christ, through his death on the cross, has purchased for them salvation and eternal life and a relationship with God. That's how Peter starts off this epistle. And after he lays out and kind of forms this idea of this indicatives, who you are in Christ, then he moves into, in the later chapters of chapter 2 and 3, the imperatives, how you are to live, who we are, as we see in the Bible, leads to how we are to live. And I think that's a wonderful thing. God doesn't tell us just go do this. But he, oftentimes in his word, we see it so clearly. He lays out about who we are and how the gospel has ransomed us through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, and through faith in him. We're born again to a living hope, and we have a relationship with God. And as a result of that, this is now how we are to live. In chapter 2 of 1 Peter, we see many imperatives for how Christians are to live. We saw how we're supposed to relate to the government. We see how servants are supposed to relate to masters. We see how wives are to relate to husbands. We see how husbands are to relate to their wives. And now as we come to verses 8 through 12, we're going to see further instructions on how we're to live the Christian life. And I think as we come to this passage here, the main idea of the passage is this. My clicker's not going. Let's see. There it is. The main idea of the passage is this. Friends, true blessedness is found in walking closely with Jesus Christ and being a blessing to others. True blessedness is found in walking closely with Jesus Christ and being a blessing to others. Again, these are persecuted people. These are marginalized people. These are scattered people. And what does Peter say to them about what it means to be truly blessed? What does he say? He said, true blessedness is found in blessing others. True blessedness is found in walking with Jesus Christ. And that's my prayer for us today, that as we come to this passage, that we would be reminded, that we would see what it means to be blessed. How we can walk through this life, through the good and bad, and know the blessing of God in our lives. So as we come to verse 8, we're going to learn a first truth about what it means to be blessed, what a blessed life looks like. And what we learn is this. Friends, seek to bless your brothers and sisters in Christ. True blessedness is found in blessing others. And specifically here, it's talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ, our family in Christ. What does it say in verse 8? Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. True blessedness is found in blessing our brothers and sisters in Christ. And what does he say here? He starts with this idea of having a unity of mind. This means as Christians, our minds should be filled with the truths of God. Our minds should be filled with Scripture. May we be a people who love God with our minds. May we be a people who love theology. May we nourish ourselves on God's Word. And as we do this, this will lead us to have a common worldview, how we view the world together. And as I've gotten to know people in this church, my family in Christ, we do share that same worldview together. It's interesting, even in crossing cultures, living in China, as our Chinese friends came to Christ, grew in Christ from a Chinese culture, and our family from an American culture, as we grew in Christ, we were able to cross that culture and share that same biblical worldview together. We had a unity of mind, and it can cross cultures. And it can cross the cultures even found in this room. We can grow together. We can have a unity of mind together. But there's a warning. What does it say at the end of verse 8? The end of verse 8. A humble mind and a humble mind. Peter's warning us that if we're going to love God and bless others with our minds and come together, a unity of mind, that we need to have a humble mind. Sometimes when we grow in learning more about God, even grow in learning about theology, we can get prideful, right? Chad Helmer's here. One of the jokes, we both went to the same seminary. One of the jokes about being in a seminary town is having a lot of seminary students in the churches around. And one of the worst things about being at a church in these seminary towns is you get seminary students in your Bible studies. And one of the worst things about, especially first-year seminary students, is they get into a Bible study and they just feel like they know everything, you know? There's nothing worse than a first-year seminary student, right, Chad? It's bad. You know, you open it up to discussion, it's like, well, you know, I know the Greek word for this, and my professor was saying this, and I read this. It's like, oh boy, here we go. Right, but you know, Peter's saying, yeah, yes, we need to have a unity of mind that comes around God's word together as we grow in the truth. Oh, but may we have humility. May we have humility. A humble, what does he say here? A humble mind together. Well, he starts with the first body part, our head. So you can bless others. If you have the fill in the blank, the first body is blessing others with our head. And well, the second body part that he talks about here, I would call a blessing with our hands. What does it say? Sympathy. The blessing of sympathy. What does that mean? Real sympathy takes the needs of others into account and is willing to help people with those needs. It's not just saying nice things. It's not saying, oh, I'm sorry, and I'll pray for you. And that's good. But it's willing to take action and help others. This is actually what we see in the Good Samaritan. When the Good Samaritan sees the person that was robbed on the side of the road, he stops and takes action. He takes sympathy to help the injured person on the road. I don't know if you remember, last September, I fell off a ladder 10 feet onto pavement. I broke my wrist. I sprained my other wrist and sprained my back. It was horrific. I can't believe I didn't die. God spared my life. I can't believe I didn't shatter my pelvis and my legs. But I was banged up. And that's exactly what I found here in this church. People brought us pizza. People brought us food. They checked in to see how I was doing. And I know that we do this together as a church for one another. We have sympathy for one another. We care for one another. And I was so thankful for how people showed us true sympathy. We have a joke at our family. Stephen Yvonne Napoli brought us over Mr. Pizza. So now, we didn't even know about Mr. Pizza, so we love Mr. Pizza. So every time we eat Mr. Pizza, the joke is, wow, Dad, if you didn't fall off the ladder, we would have never known about Mr. Pizza. So what a blessing that is. And that's true. So thank you to the Napolis for bringing us Mr. Pizza, and yeah, praise God for that. So our hands, we can bless others with our heads. We can bless others with our hands. And the third body part, what does Peter talk about here? In brotherly love, a tender heart. Brotherly love. This is talking about the family of God. We're the brothers and sisters in Christ. We love each other as family members. And he says, what's interesting, all of you. So you see, it's not just for the pastors. It's not just for the deacons. It's all of you. We can all have this brotherly love, this family love in the family of God. And a tender heart. A tender heart. This is a tough Greek word to translate. Chad might know this word. The Greek word is splachnos. Splachnos. You know what splachnos means? You see, in the Roman world, the Greek world, the center of emotions was not your heart, it was your bowels. Yeah. Oh yeah. So Peter is saying, love each other with splachnos, with your guts. Down deep. Not a surfacey love, but a down deep love from your guts. So to really genuinely love others. We can bless. We bless. How do we become blessed? By blessing others with our minds, with our hands, and with our hearts, with our guts. That's what Peter, that's what is calling these Christians to, and that's what he's calling us to. Our head, our hands, and our hearts. Sorry about that. And so the application question I have for us here is this: how can you bless your brothers and sisters in Christ this week? How can you bless your brothers and sisters in Christ this week? How can you use your head? How can you use your hands? And how can you use your heart? And so I'm just here to encourage you to continue this. I see this all the time in our congregation. I've seen it in my life as you've loved us and cared for us. And may we be a congregation that knows blessedness. And Peter's saying the real way to be blessed is to be a blessing to others. You want to know blessedness? Bless others. Bless your church. Bless your family in Christ. Well, as the passage moves on, we learn a second truth about how we can know the blessings of God in our lives. And the second truth is this: friends, seek to bless the non-Christians in your life. What does it say here in verse 9? Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Again, Peter is speaking to these Christians that are being persecuted. They're marginalized. Life is tough. And so what does he say about what it means to be blessed? He says, bless the people around you, the non-Christians around you, that you may obtain a blessing. You know, this is a common theme in the book of 1 Peter. What does it say in 1 Peter 2:12? Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. 2:19-21. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. Verse 21, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example that you might follow in his footsteps. You see, there seems to be an identification with Christ that happens when we suffer at the hands of non-Christians. This is why Peter says, this is what you have been called to. As Christians, as Christ was called to suffer, we too are called to suffer. I'll share a story about my daughter Maggie, my oldest daughter Maggie. She's not here today, so I'll share the story about her. But when she was in a sophomore at Amherst High School, she had a very difficult, difficult English teacher. A teacher, I guess you could say, we'll say it is very liberal and had a very narrow, strong view on sexuality and gender. And the teacher held this view so strongly that if the students showed any disagreement with her, they just were afraid that she would penalize them. And as a 10th grader, as a Christian at Amherst High School, it was very difficult for Maggie. Many times she didn't know what to do, but we prayed with her, prayed for her. We told her what God's Word teaches about sexuality and gender and some of the issues that were in this class. And we told her to be respectful to the teacher. We told her, do the work that the teacher assigned. I think there were times, especially as parents, where we just wanted to fight back. It's like, there are times we wanted to report the teacher, right, and to the district for not representing a variety of ideas on the topic. But instead, we prayed, and we sought to honor the teacher. And to be honest, it was very hard. I think many times our daughter felt like she was the only one with a different view. There was a lot of pressure. But we chose to bless and honor this teacher. We chose to respect the teacher. We did not repay evil for evil. We did not repay reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, we sought to do the best we could at blessing the teacher. And what does Peter say here in the passage? This is to what you were called. This is the repetition that found in chapter 2 where Peter's talking to servants and how they're called to serve under masters who are difficult to them. This is our calling. We're called to suffer at times. And I think that's the heart here of this passage. It says, blessed that you were called that you may obtain a blessing. This is the main idea, the heart of this whole passage. Blessed that you may obtain a blessing, even with difficult people in your lives. So friends, how was our daughter blessed by not returning anger to her teacher? I don't know fully. But what I do know is that the experience made her stronger as a Christian. It caused her to grow closer to God. And it has caused her, as well as Rose and I, to depend on God. So the application question is this. Who are the difficult people in your life that God is calling you to bless? You know, sometimes this can be non-Christians. Sometimes it can even be Christian people. But this context here is specifically people that are not Christians. It could be coworkers. It could be neighbors. It could be family members. And so who are the difficult people in your life that God is calling you to bless? Peter says, bless that you may obtain a blessing. And obviously, there's times where we do need to draw a boundary. There's times where we do need to stand up and speak for ourselves. But sometimes I feel like we're too quick to fight back, right? And so that's for DNA. That's for after this sermon discussion. Where do we stand up and where do we not? That's the challenge. That's where we need God's wisdom. We need God's Spirit within us. But Peter is saying here, bless that you may obtain a blessing. And these people are going under persecution that is oftentimes much more severe than we are facing here in 2023. So secondly, friends, bless the non-Christians in your life. And as we come here now to verses 10 through 12, we learn a third truth about how we can know and experience the blessedness of God in our lives. And what we learn here is found in verses 10 through 12. And what we learn here is this: friends, seek the blessings that come with fellowship with God. True blessedness is found in walking closely with Jesus Christ. What does it say in verse 10? Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Here, Peter is quoting Psalm 34. And we see the principle here in the psalm. Bless others to receive a blessing. Verse 10, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let us keep his tongue away from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. We see the idea here. If you want to see, to love life and see good, if you want blessing, Peter is saying, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking. He's saying basically, if you want blessing, you need to bless others. If you're going to use your lips to speak evil and speak deceit, you're not going to know blessing in your life. And then in verses 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. So how can God hear our prayers? What God hears our prayers when we bless others. But I think underneath all of this is the sense of walking closely with God. That when we sin, we confess our sin to God, and we just seek to have closeness and intimacy with God. We know that our relationship with God is secure, that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, that through faith in Jesus Christ, it's nothing that we do that saves us, but through faith in Jesus Christ, we are saved, we are born again, we are children of God, and nothing can break that relationship. But I feel like the fellowship, the intimacy with God can definitely be affected by our choices and our sin against Him. So friends, as we do sin, and as we realize that we do have sin in our lives, we need to confess that sin to God. We need to repent of our sin and ask God for forgiveness. And there's great blessings, great blessedness that comes from that fellowship with God. Whoever desires to love life and see good days. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. That's blessedness. God hears our prayers. And this comes when we're walking closely with him, when we're in fellowship with him. What does it say in John 14? Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. You see, the way that we show our love to Jesus is by obeying him. We don't obey him to be saved, to earn our salvation. No, rather, it's because we're saved and out of gratitude and love for him that we obey him. John 15:7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So we see this conditional promise to answer prayer. It really comes to us obeying God, walking with God, confessing our sin, returning from our sin, and having intimacy with him. It's like my relationship with my children. They're always my children. The relationship is secure. However, if I do simple things to them, our fellowship, the closeness of our relationship is affected. Friends, do you feel like your prayers are not being heard by God? It could be due to the fact that you are repaying evil for evil. It could be due to the fact that you're saying things about people that you should not. May we be a people who pursue fellowship with God, intimacy with God. When we sin, asking God to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May we be a people who desire to obey God. Not because we want to earn our salvation, no. Because we desire to be a people close to Him. We desire to be a people that have fellowship with God. We desire to have the blessings of God in our lives. So an application question here is this. Are there areas of sin in your life that you need to confess to the Lord? Friends, true blessedness is found in walking closely with Jesus Christ and being a blessing to others. Seek to bless your brothers and sisters in Christ. Seek to bless the non-Christians in your life. And friends, seek the blessings that come from fellowship with God. Friends, will we live long lives? Will we be like those people in the blue zones that live in their 90s and 100s, over 100 years old? I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe we will. But what I do know is that the true way to be blessed is found in walking closely with God and being a blessing to others. And this is exactly what we see in Jesus Christ. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. And it's because of His sympathy, because of His brotherly love, because of His tender heart, because He did not repay evil for evil, that we are blessed. And now He is blessed as He reigns King and sits next to the Father. And we know that He's coming again. Maybe you find this message difficult. And my message for you today is not to man up. Do better. That's not my message. My message for you is to turn to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Find the blessings that are found in Him. And allow His blessings to be a blessing to you. And now as we follow Him, may we find the blessedness as we bless others. This is the way of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this passage here in 1 Peter. Lord, may we be a thriving, multiplying, blessed church. May we be a people that seek to bless our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we use our head, our hearts, and our hands. May we even bless the non-Christians around us who revile us. And oh God, may we seek the blessings that come from fellowship with You. God, may we know blessedness. We pray for Your blessing in our lives and in our church. And we thank You for the rich blessings that are found in Jesus Christ. We love You. We give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen.